So we are holding on page, supposed to be page tzaddik, although it might be in yours as page tzaddik hey or something like that. It's should be the page opposite 188, although I think again the page numbering is a little bit messed up. In any case, we're holding seven lines from the bottom of that page. The line begins the page begins with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi saying Haroya Nahar Bachaloim. So hopefully that'll help orient you. All right, it's in the middle of Os Kuf Chaf Gimel. Okay, so we're still in the middle of talking about things that a person sees in his dream that have good connotations, and some of them we're saying even though they may have good connotations, the person still needs to strengthen that by actually quoting a pasuk to that effect. Otherwise, it can be the negative thing. So the last thing we said was that if a person sees a reed in a dream, then it means that he'll get chachma. And if he sees reeds in the plural, then it means he'll get bina, because kone, the word kone is associated with the word kne, as in kne chachma and uvachol kinyon chokne bina. And we said that Maharsha says we're not talking about when he sees the actual reed itself in the dream, but rather when he sees the word kone or the word konim written out. So in this connection, the Gemara says Amar Rav Zeira, Kara, if a person sees any of the following things in a dream, and again, according to Maharsha B'Pashtus, we're talking about where he sees them written out. So he sees Kara, which is a pumpkin, or Kura, which is the heart of a palm, Kira, or wax, or Kanya, or reeds. So all of those things, Kulu Malo L'Chelma, all of those things are good things to see in a dream. So maybe there's the idea, all of them, there's a kanim we said represents chachma and bina respectively. So maybe the idea is that these other ones, kora and kura and kira and so forth, are very similar to that. And therefore they also mean that good things are coming. Tanya, we learn in a braisa, as far as what we said, as far as kora, which is a type of pumpkin, ein marin dluin elolamisha hu yorish shamayim b'chol koichei. A person will only be shown in a dream, delurin, which is a type of large squashes or pumpkins or something, only if he's Yoresh Shamayim with all his strength. So in other words, you have the regular kinds of pumpkins or other kinds of related vegetables like that, that a regular person might see. But if he sees delurin, which are one particular kind, one particular large kind, then it means that only a person who's Yoresh Shamayim with his full strength will see such a thing. Now, why? What's the significance of that? So the Rabbeinu Nissim printed on the side of the Gemara says that some of his Talmidim asked him about it, and he said, I don't know, this is the Kabbalah from the Chachmei Gemara, but a reason wasn't given why. But he gives two reasons. One is so Rashi over here gives one of the reasons. The reason is because the word Deluin is very similar to the words Dalu Einai, which means that my eyes are lifted up. The context of that is Chizkiyahu, after he was dangerously sick and then he recovered B'derech Nes, so he composed a tefillah to thank Hashem for that. And in that tefillah, he uses the expression, Dalu Einai Lamorim, my eyes were lifted up to Hashem, asking him to save me. So now when a person sees Dluin, which are related to the word, which is similar to the word Dalu Einai, it means that he must be really lifting up his eyes to Hashem. He must be a real Yorei Shamayim. So Rabbeinu Nissim mentions that point. He says another point as well. The Dluim, we're saying, are very large pumpkins, as opposed to Kara, which are regular size. Here we're talking about very large ones. So they're the largest fruit that there is, and yet they grow very low down to the ground. They grow on these low vines, which is why they're Hadama, after all. So therefore, so they represent a Yoresh Shamayim, who he may be a very great person, but he's still very humble and he holds himself low. And therefore, when he sees that in a dream, then that's the kind of thing that such a person will be shown in a dream. Next, another one. We going back to the list we had. We had a list that we learned yesterday of various things where if a person sees them in a dream, they may mean something good, but they could also have a negative meaning, and therefore you have to say an appropriate pasuk to give the good meaning rather than the bad one. So another one, haroya shor b'chaloyim, a person sees an ox in a dream, yashkin b'yema b'chor shorei hodoloy, he should get up right away and say the pasuk, and in Yosef's bracha, the firstborn of his ox is his glory, meaning that they are an ox as a positive simen, before he ends up coming across a negative pasuk, where the pasuk says an ox gores a person and kills him. So that would be there where the ox then would represent something negative. So in this connection, the Gemara says, Tanan Abanan, Chamisha Dvarim Nemru Bashur. There are five rules that the Chachamim said about if you see an ox in a dream. If in the dream he sees that he's eating the meat of the ox, Miss Asher, then he'll be there. That's a simon that he will become rich. Pashtos, the connection is because only rich people in those days could afford to eat beef. So therefore, that shows that he's reaching that level. Nogchoy, if he sees in the dream that the ox gores him. Now, we did just say that goring is not in and of itself such a good thing, but here, where he sees in the dream the ox goring him, and Pashtos, he survives. It represents having le bonim shemenagchim batora. What it represents is that he will have children, he'll have sons who are able to gore each other with Torah. In other words, we always have that learning Torah and discussing it back and forth is compared to a battle. So imagine you have like two oxen that are fighting with each other and goring and pushing against each other. So that's how he will have children who have the ability to accomplish that in Torah. Nashchai, if in the dream he sees that the ox bites him, then he should know Yisurin Boinolov, it's a sign that Yisurim are going to be coming on him. Batoi, if he sees in the dream that the ox kicks him, Derech Rechoken is Dam Naloi, then it means he should realize that that's a simon min Hashemayim, that he's going to be going soon a long trip. The Pashtus, I guess, the connection is that an ox kicks something, it kicks it quite a distance, so the same way he's going to be traveling quite a distance. And Rochvai, and the fifth one is if he sees in the dream that he's riding the ox, Oyla Lagdula, then it means he's going to go up to greatness. He's going to be promoted to a very high position. So the Gemara says, Vahatanya Rochvai Mes. What do you mean? A Braisa says the opposite, that if he sees in the ox the riding, then it means he's going to die. And the answer is like Kasha, Hodir Rochiv Hula Torah, Hodir Rochiv Torah Lididay. It depends whether in the dream he sees himself riding the ox, that will show that he's going up to Gdula, as opposed to if he sees that the ox is riding on him, then it means that there's problems. The Pashtus, we could say, the obvious thing would be the ox is the power of the Nefesh of Bahamas. So if he sees in the dream that he controls it, then good, he's going up to Gdula. If he sees that his Nefesh of Bahamas is in control of him, even in a dream, then it means there's trouble afoot. Continues the listing. If a person sees a donkey in a dream, Yitzapeli Yeshua, he should look forward to it. Means Hashem is going to save him. As the pasuk describes about Mashiach, your king is going to be coming to you. Tzadik v'noshahu, he's a tzadik and he's going to be saved by Hashem. Oni v'roi chaval chamer, he's going to be a poor person. He's going to be a poor person riding on a donkey. So we see that riding on a donkey is a simon of Yeshua, is a simon of being saved. Another one, haroya chosel b'chaloyim. If he sees a cat in a dream, so then it depends. The word for cat in Aramaic, there were different ways of pronouncing it in different places. But asra dekorule shunra. In a place where the Aramaic word for a cat is shunra, then it's a simon nasis le shira nar. Then it means it's a sign from Hashem that he's going to have a nice song. In other words, he's going to be in a situation where he's going to be able to sing a nice song of praise to Hashem because Hashem helped him. Shinra, on the other hand, there are places where the local pronunciation of the word instead is shinra with a chirik, then it means nasale shinra, then it means it's going to be a bad change, for a change for the worse for him. In fact, the Oroch has it the other way around, actually. The Oroch has it that Shinra is the good one and Shunra is the not such good one. And the Rashash also in the back of the Gemara says that seems to be more logical because Shinra sounds more like Shirana, whereas Shunra, you have the Vav in there, like the Vav in the word Shinu. If a person sees grapes in a dream, now yesterday we learned that grapes can be a good thing, and there's an appropriate pasuk for it, Kanovim Bamidbar Matsasi Yisrael, where Hashem says, I appreciated finding the Jewish people in the desert loyal to me, like a person would appreciate finding grapes in the middle of the desert. But now we're saying it's a little bit different. Levonis, if the grapes that he sees are white grapes, green grapes, Pashtus, Ben Bismanon, Ben Shaloi Bismanon, so whether it's in season for grapes or whether or not, Yafos, then they're a good simon for him. Shchoris, on the other hand, if they're black or dark grapes, then it depends. Bisman on yafa, if it's a season when grapes are growing, then it's good. Shaloi bisman on rois, but if they're not in their time, then it's not such a good simon. Another one, haroya sus lovan bachaloim. If a person sees a white horse in a dream, bein benachas bein beroduf, whether he sees the horse walk is standing, or walk benachas would mean standing still or walking slowly. Roduf would mean that it's running. Either way, yofaloi, seeing a white horse in a dream is a good simon for him. White is the color of chesed, and therefore it represents that the Eibishter is going to do chesed with him. On the other hand, if he sees a red horse, benachas yofa, if he sees it standing still or walking slowly, then it's a good simon. Beroduf, but if he sees it running, racing along, kosher, then it's not such a good thing. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Yad Yosef references over here, a Gemara in Sanhedrin, which in turn explains a nevuah of Zechariah in that vein. Zechariah sees a number of horses of different colors, one of them representing one of them. He sees a red horse, and the Gemara says over there that was a nevuah representing that Hashem was going to treat the world very harshly, but then he had Rachmanus on the world. So then the Gemara goes on to say over there that the red horse in Zechariah's nevuah turned into a white horse, and we see from that a red horse is not such a good thing, and a white horse is. So our Gemara is saying more specifically that it depends whether the horse is standing still or running. Bechlal, in other words, so you have the Malbim on those Psukim, and Zechariah explains like this. A horse in general represents war because in those times, regular people you usually didn't ride horses on a day-to-day basis. We had before, for example, Bar Kappara had a dream where he saw that his feet were chopped off, and Rebbe tells him that it represents that he won't have to walk anywhere, he'll be able to ride on a horse. But the average person only would ride a horse for purposes of warfare. So it means that. It also means, the Malbim points out, it has another meaning. It means gaiva. So therefore, red horse represents shvichos damim, and when it's running as well, then it means it's like it's running to do shvichos damim. If it's standing still, or if it's white, regardless whether it's standing still or running, either way, it shows greatness. It shows hisnasus, being raised up, but not shvichos damim, which is why the Gemara is saying over here it's a good simon for him. Next, haroya yishmol b'chaloyim. If a person sees yishmol in a dream, tfilosin yishmas, then it's a siman for him in Hashemayim that his tfilos will be listened to. Because after all, that's why yishmol was named that. Ki shama Hashem al onyech, the malach tells Hagar that Hashem has listened to your tfilah. The davka yishmol ben Avraham. Now that would only apply only if the person actually saw the original yishmol in a dream, the yishmol, the son of Avraham. Abo taya ba'al maloy, not stam if he sees an Arab. If somebody wants to ask a question, by the way, somebody's going to unmute it, because right now you're all muted.
How do you recognize
Yishmael? I have no idea. Maybe he's wearing a name tag that says Yishmael ben Avraham. I have no idea. But whatever it is, somehow or other you'd be able to recognize that it's him. Anyway, so Aval Tayyar Ba'al Maloy, but not Stam if you see an Arab, even though the Arabs are called Yishmaelim, that doesn't have the same import that it means that Hashem will listen to you, Tfilis. Next, Haroya Gomol B'chaloyim. If a person sees a camel in a dream, it means Misa Nikna Salim Min HaShemayim V'Yitzluhu Mimena. Then it's a simon that Min HaShemayim, it was penalized Min HaShemayim, that he should have to die, but then he was saved from that. Hashem saved him from that Gzeira. Amar Rav Chama Rav Chanina Maikra, where is a pasuk where we see that point that a gomel, a camel, represents being saved from death? You have the pasuk. Hashem says to Yaakov before he goes down to Mitzrayim, Anoichi ered imcha Mitzrayimah, I will go down with you to Mitzrayim, va'anoichi alcha gam oloi, and I will also bring you up from there. So now the words gam oloi are very close to the word gomel. In other words, the ayin drops out. For us Ashkenazim, that's easy enough to realize. We pronounce an ayin silent. Even Sardim will pronounce it gutturally. It's relatively easy to drop out between the mem and between the mem and the lamed. And therefore, you have the gamoloi sounds very much like the word gomel. So it represents, in other words, that Hashem is going to bring him up from a bad situation that he was otherwise going to be in. Rav Nachman Yitzchok Amar Mehacha. Rav Nachman Yitzchok says you have another pasuk where also we see that more clearly that a gomel is associated with being saved from death. The Nosan HaNavi tells David after the whole story with Bathsheba, and David did tshuva and said chatasi. So the Navi tells him, Gam Hashem hever chataska loy samos. Also Hashem has removed your avera and you won't die. So we see, in other words, the either you can say that the gam and the loy and the pasuk put them together, gam and loy spells gamla, which means a camel, or Marsha points out that the word gam, besides meaning also, is also the name of the Greek letter that corresponds to gimel, the Greek letter gamma. In Gemara terminology, it's called gam. So therefore, the word gam by itself is related to the word gomel, which in turn is related to the word gimel, and therefore the word gam by itself represents. So therefore, the camel is associated with this pasuk, Gam Hashem Hever Chataska, and it means, in other words, therefore, that the person has been saved from death that would have been that he would have been penalized with. Next, Haroya Pinchas Bachaloim. If a person sees Pinchas in a dream, and again, we don't know. As far as Yishmael also, before in the next few lines, where we're going to have a number of names of people that a person sees in a dream, the Gemara is going to explain that with a number of them, it means that he sees them in writing. So here also with Pinchas, it may mean that he's seen the name Pinchas in writing, and the same thing with Yishmael before, or it may mean that he's seeing the actual figure of Pinchas and before the actual figure of Yishmael. And again, how would he recognize them? You would have to know. Somehow in his dream, he recognizes that it's him. So if he sees Pinchas in a dream, Pela Nasaloi, then it means that a wonder is going to be done for him. What's the association? Because Pinchas, we know that a bunch of nisim, a bunch of wonders were done for him in the whole story of Zimri and Cosby. The Gemara lists 6 nisim that were done for him at that point. A Medrash says 12. So Pinchas is associated with Pela. There is a sicha in Chelek Lamed Gimel where the Rebbe discusses that further and asks, is that the most noteworthy thing about that story with Pinchas, is the nisim that happened to him? Yes, it's true. Of course, a lot of nisim happened to him. But first of all, the Gemara is going to go on to say next that if he sees an elephant, then it means pile plois. It means plois in plural. He's going to have plois in the plural, not just one pella. And with Pinchas, there were at least 6, maybe 12. Why doesn't Pinchas also represent ploim in the plural? And also, what's the difference between that and a few lines in the Gemara? We're going to have Nisim Nasuloi, Nes Nasuloi, and Nisim Nasuloi. So what is the difference between Nes and Pela? So the Rebbe develops the idea in that Sicha that Nes represents where you have those Derech HaTeva, and then you have Derech HaTeva was overridden by a Nes. On the other hand, Pela represents where there's not even room, so to speak, there's not even room for the Teva of the world in the first place, right? The whole thing is in a state of Pela. The whole thing is a wondrous thing that's completely has nothing to do with Teva. And so the Vort is then, the Rebbe explains, Pinchas, when we look at what he did over there in that story of Zimri and Cosby, it's not just that all of a sudden he felt the need to go on Mesiras Nefesh, as if like all this time he had lived a certain way and now all of a sudden he realizes he has to do something different. All that time he lived as a Mesiras Nefesh Yid, so he lived beyond Tam Vadas in his Avoida, and therefore, so as a natural outgrowth of that, then came the story of what he did with Zimri and Cosby. But therefore, the point is that his derech and avoda itself was a way of Pella, was a way of completely beyond derech hateva, not even paying attention to derech hateva, as opposed to Nes would be more. There is a derech hateva, and then the Edishta overrides it. And then the Sicha, the Rebbe goes on to connect that with the Friedrich Rebbe and Yud Beis Tammuz, because the Geula of the Friedrich Rebbe was during the week of Shabbos, was during the week of Parshas Pinchas, and the Friedrich Rebbe was the same thing also. He didn't care about the Minias V'Kuvim of the various places where he lived, first in Russia and then in Poland and then in the United States. He lived a life of not even worrying about what the Olam HaZeh HaGashmi has to say, and therefore, so that's what Pella is. Appropriately enough, now, you know, we're in the Tufshin Peis now, where everybody says, you know, we don't have the official Rosh HaTevis like we did back before Tufshin Nun Beis, but everybody says that that these are the years of Plois, as opposed to the Nuns were Niflois. So therefore it means, you know, the Eibishter should help that we taka have Plois of the kind that the Rebbe is describing, that we live on that level of Avoda and we taka experience that level of Pella. Anyway, continues the Gemara. Haroya pil b'chaloyim. If a person sees an elephant in a dream, plois nasoloy, then it represents that there are wonders that are going to be done for him. So unlike Pinchas, which is only one pella, here the result of seeing the elephant represents that there are going to be multiple plois for him. So why that is, one possibility is, and the Rebbe mentions this in the Sicha, that you could say maybe because the word Pinchas only has the pay, whereas Peel has the pay and the lamed of Pella, so therefore it maybe represents a greater number of ploys. So the Rebbe says that doesn't seem to really follow. There are Mephoshim who explain actually that the vote is because an elephant is a very unusual kind of animal. In fact, you have it al Pialocha. I think we have it later in the Perek, I think, that when you see an elephant for the first time in your life, you say the bracha, Mishana Habrias, because it's so unusual having a trunk like that no other animal has. And therefore, it represents something Pella. It represents something completely wondrous and not completely outside of Derech HaTeva. Then if he sees in the dream Pilim, if he sees elephants in the plural, Pile Plois Nasoloi, then it means that Hashem is going to do for him wonders of wonders. Next. So the Gemara says, what do you mean that elephants are a good thing for a dream? V'hatanya, we learn in a b'raisa, kol minei chayas yofen machaloyim, any kind of wild animals that you see in a dream are good, chutz min apilum min akoif, with the exception of an elephant or a monkey. So an elephant is not a good thing. And the answer is, like kasha hodem esareg hodelam esareg. It depends whether the elephant is wearing a saddle or not. If it has a saddle on it, then Rashi explains it's a good simon. If you see an elephant without a saddle, then we're saying it's not such a good simon. And again, Bapashtus, you could say the reason would be, Balabatish, you would say, because the saddle represents that you've tamed the animal and you're using it for your purposes. So therefore, it means that it's enhancing and enabling your avoda. Next, Haroya Huna Bachaloyim, if a person sees Huna in a dream, And as the Gemara is going to explain in a minute, we're talking about, the Gemara is going to bring in a second, Vahani Mili B'chsava. So Marsha seems to understand that all of these things we're talking about where he sees the name written out. So now he sees a person named Huna, but he sees the name Huna written out. So then it represents Nes Nasalo. It represents that a Nes is going to happen for him because the Nun. So yes, Rashi says that we're talking about that he saw the name written. So the nun of the name Huna is associated with the nun of the word Nes. So Marsha says, I mean, there's lots of names that have nuns in them. So why Dafka this one? So Marsha leaves the question open. There are Mephoshim who explain that the reason is because the word Huna is related to the word chen. You often find in Joshua's of Chazal that they interchange he and ches. So therefore, the vote was this is the Smichas Chachamim explains this. He says the word Huna is Miloshin Chain, because the He and the Ches interchange. In fact, in the Yerushalmi, Rav Huna, both the famous Rav Huna and other Chachamim named Rav Huna are often called in the Yerushalmi Chuna, because the He and Ches are very close in shape and in pronunciation. And therefore, the word Huna also represents Chain. If he sees Chanina, Chananya, Yochanan, if he sees any of these names written out, Chanina, Chananya, or Yochanan, each of which has two nuns in it, Nisim, Nisim, Nasulai, then it means that Nisim within Nisim are going to happen to him, because now you have, not only are there two nuns in each of those names, but Marsha adds, all of those names are related to the word Chen, the word Yochanan, the names Chanina and Chananya, and Yochanan all mean Hashem is gracious. So therefore, they represent that a lot of Nisim. Another one, Haroya Hesped Bachaloyim. If a person sees a Hesped in a dream where everybody gathers together and bewails and then says speeches and cries about another, so it represents Minashamayim Chosu Olav Ufdo'uhu. then it means that min hashamayim, that Hashem had rachmanus on him and saved him from something bad that was going to happen. Now that would only apply if he sees the hesped in writing, meaning he sees the word hesped written out, but not if he sees an actual hesped, that wouldn't be a good siman. So then it would be the same. Again, Rashi says the same thing with Huna and Chanina and so forth, that it means that he saw them, that all of them, he saw them written out. And how does that? Because the word hesped, so the word, the hey of hesped, again, can be exchanged for ches. So then you have the word chos. So you have the word chos, which means Hashem was gracious, Hashem and Rachmanus, and pod, pay dalad, which represents the shodesh poda, that Hashem redeemed him from something bad that was going to happen to him. So therefore, that's why hesped represents that Hashem had Rachmanus on him and saved him. And by the way, Marsha adds the point. So Taka, then why doesn't he see the word chaspad? Why doesn't he see that sama hey dalad? This Gemara is also in Bava Kama. Marsha there explains the vote is because after all, we know that we learned before in our Gemara, in chaloyim below dvar b'telem, you never have a dream without some kind of nonsense in it. So therefore, the nonsense over here is that he saw hey instead of the expected ches. Also, Ben Yehoyada points out another point as well. We learned earlier in the sugya that sometimes you have a person has a good dream and they're so happy with the dream that itself is the fulfillment of the dream. Then actually whatever good thing it is that was meant to be in the dream doesn't actually need to come true, because just the fact that he was happy from the good dream itself is enough. So Ben Yehoyada explains in the same vein over here. If he actually sees the word chaspad, ches samach pei dalad, he's going to realize right away that it means min hashamayim chosu olav apru, that means that Hashem saved him from a bad fate. Then he's going to be so happy that itself is going to be the fulfillment of the dream and nothing else is going to happen. Therefore, instead, he sees a hesped. So now he does, the word hesped, after all, evokes a very sad thought of a person passing away and a levaya and all that. So he goes to the chacham, and the chacham then tells him the interpretation, and then that way it helps that the interpretation will actually come true. And he goes on to explain another meaning of why it's has with a hey. Next, continues the Gemara. If a person in his dream answers Omen Yeheshme Rabba Mavarach, like in Kaddish, Muftachloshu Ben Olam Abba, then he can be guaranteed from that it means that he's a Ben Olam Abba. Because it means, in other words, the Smichas Chachamim explains, because by saying that, La'olam al-Omei Omaya, he's representing all the different worlds, Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. Harkakore Krishma, if in his dream he's saying Shema, it means Roy Shetishra Olav Shechina, it means that he deserves that the Shechina should rest on him. The only thing, in other words, he ought to really, he would be on the level that he could be a Navi, but his generation is not worthy of it, and therefore he doesn't end up actually becoming a Navi. And the idea is, Shema is Kabbalah O Malchus Shemayim, so therefore it represents that he's Roy, that the Shechina should rest on him. Next, Hamaniach Tefillin B'Chaloyim. If a person sees in a dream that he's putting on Tefillin, Yitzapa L'Gdula, then he can look forward to that he's going to achieve greatness. The pasuk says all the nations of the world will see that the name of Hashem is called on you, the Yoru Mimecha, and they'll be afraid of you. The Tanya, Rabbi Yezar Gabalayma, Eilat Tefillin Shabarosh, and we learned earlier in the Masechta that it means the Tefillin on the head. So it means, in other words, that he's going to achieve greatness and people are going to be afraid of him. We actually had earlier in Abaya and Rava's dreams, we had where Rava saw this dream in a Pasuk, and Bar-Hedya, as we said over there, Bar-Hedya had it in for Rava and was trying to find him all the bad interpretations, was saying that it means that Rava is going to be arrested on a trumped-up charge and everybody's going to start making a Kavah Chomer for themselves, how much more so we should have to be fearful of such things. But here the Gemara is saying normally, if you don't have, with all of these dreams, we're saying Kol HaChalom HaSochan Achar HaPeh. But in this kind of, normally, if you don't have a Bar-Hedya who's out to get you, then it actually means a good thing. Next, Hamispalo b'chaloyim, if a person sees in his dream that he's davening, simon yafaloi, then it's a good simon for him. It means that is that his tefillahs are going to be accepted. Vahani mili deloi siim, however, that would only be if he didn't see in his dream that he finished davening. Because if he finished davening, so Rashi explains, in other words, when a person is davening Shemana Esrei, then he's as close to the Eibishter as he could be. So therefore, if he sees in the dream that he's davening and is still in the middle of davening when he wakes up, then it shows he's very close to the Eibishter. On the other hand, if he finished davening, if he sees in his dream that he took the three steps back, then it means not necessarily is he that close to the Eibishter. Next. If a person sees in his dream that he had relations with his mother, yitzapel bina, means he can look forward to that he's going to achieve bina, he's going to achieve understanding in Torah. Shenema ki im la bina tikra, as the pasuk says, if you were called to bina, then the pasuk says good things will happen. So we're doushening the word im as if it was aim, which means a mother. So therefore we see that there's an association between a mother and bina. Maharsha explains, because after all, the word im wasn't really needed in the pasuk, and therefore we have it available for the drasha. The idea being, in other words, now a pi Kabbalah, there was explained in Derech Mitzvah Secha, you have a number of mitzvahs, you have 20 odd mitzvahs about Arayas, and you have there, and in other places where it explains in Sifrei Kabbalah and in Sifrei Chassidus, that all the Arayas really represent very high levels of Yichudim in Olam HaSel Yonim, but as they come here down to earth, then they're negative things, and therefore they're dangerous and off limits. So here we're saying when the person sees these kinds of relationships in a dream, so then it means that he's being so in effect, what he's seeing is these kinds of arayas as they exist lamaila, as they exist in Olam HaSel Yonim, and therefore as they represent positive and good things, unlike when they come down to our world. Similarly, habal naira morosa. If a person in a dream sees that he's having relations with a naira morosa, yitzapel la torah, then it means he can look forward to that he's going to achieve torah. Shenema torah tzivalonu Moshe morosha keilas Yaakov. We say that the torah is an inheritance to the congregation of Yaakov. Al tikri morosha ela morosa. So we don't read; we read as if the pasuk didn't say morosha, an inheritance, but rather morosa, that the torah is like betrothed to the Jewish people. Why is that? Maharsha says, because after all, the Torah is not really a Yerusha. The Torah was given to us as a present. So instead, the Torah is compared to an Arusa. That has implications, Api Alocha, by the way. First of all, there's a Gemara in Psochim, for example, that says that when a Talmid Chacham learns Torah in front of an Amah Oretz and doesn't invite him to participate, then it's as if he's boil Arusas in front of him. It's as if like he's taking away from that Yid. He's preventing that Yid from being able to be together with his arusa. So it's not a good thing to do. It's not right for him to do that to the Amah Oretz. There's also the Gemara in Sanhedrin that explains that's where we learn that a goy is not allowed to be oisik b'Torah, with the exception, of course, of the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach and other things that he needs to know, for the same reason, because the Torah is morosa, the Torah is in a state of erusin to the Jewish people, and therefore nobody else should be interfering with it. So he was saying that when a person has a dream where he has relations with the Naira Marasa, so what he's seeing is not the actual Naira Marasa itself, but rather what it represents for Ruchnius, namely that he's going to achieve Torah. Habal Achoise B'chaloyim, next, if he has relations with his sister in a dream, Yitzapa L'chochma, then it means he can look forward to achieving the Chochma of Torah. Shenema Emma LaChochma Achosiot, as a pasuk says, say to Chochma, you are my sister. Meaning that the Torah has to be as close to it. It means a few things. It means a person has to have as close a relationship with the Torah as a brother does to a sister. It means that for example, the Gemara mentions in other places, it means the same way as it's obvious to everybody that your sister is off limits to you. The same way a person, that's how familiar a person has to be with every part of Torah. But we see that there's a connection between the Chochma of Torah and a sister. Next, habal eshes ish b'chaloyim. If a person sees in a dream that he had relations with a married woman, then he can be guaranteed that he has a place in olam haba, in the sense that why does that represent that? So you have a gemara in Chagiga that says that, so Rashi explains like this. There's a Gemara in Chagiga that says that every person has a place in Gan Eden and a place in Gehenna. Then what happens is that Tzaddik, he earns his place in Gan Eden. He doesn't need his place in Gehenna. So what happens? A Rosha instead ends up taking over that place. So a Rosha who's sent to Gehenna ends up having his own chelik as well as the chelik of the tzaddik who would have been there had he not been the tzaddik. And vice versa, the tzaddik ends up getting his own chelik as well as the chelik of somebody else who was sent off to Gehenna. So therefore now, when he sees in a dream that he's having relations with somebody else's wife, somebody who's supposed to be somebody else's chelik, then it represents, so to speak, like he's having somebody else's chelik in Gan Eden as well as his own. However, the Gemara says, "Mahani mili de lo yodaba." However, that would only apply only if he didn't know this woman already and wasn't thinking about her from beforehand. Because if he knew her and he was thinking about her in this way from the daytime, then we would say this would be an example of one of those kinds of things where we say that dreams come only from the thoughts of a person's heart. And then it would be that it's not telling us that he's a ben olam haba. On the contrary, it means that he needs to do some serious tshuva. And in fact, Mefoshim point out that the same thing would be pashtus apply to the Naira Marosa as well. It would also have to be that he didn't know this Naira Marosa beforehand. In fact, an explanation with all of these is, I mean, you can have conceivably, you know, you have a case in Mishnayos in I think Masechta Zovim or something that describes a case where a person has a dream and he wakes up and finds Besorei Cham and he finds that he's aroused, where then there's a concern that he may have actually been Motzi Zera during the night and therefore that he's Tomei Misavik. So in all these cases over here, we would have to be talking about where there's not that, where the dream didn't progress far enough for him to for there to be any concern of Motzi Zera Levatala. Next. Omer Abchia Ba'aba, Haroya Chitim Bachaloyim, if a person sees wheat in a dream, Ra Shalom, then it means he sees that peace is coming to him. Shenemar has some gvolich shalom, as the pasuk says, in Tillim. Hashem makes your boundaries should be at peace. Chelav chitim yasbiyeh. Hashem gives you. Hashem satisfies you with the cream of wheat. So we see that wheat is associated with shalom. The Gemara in Bava Kama, in Bava Metzia rather, that mentions the flip side of it is that when the grain is gone from the house is when fights start breaking out. So we see that when there's a good grain supply in the house, then that's associated with shalom. If a person sees barley in his dream, then it's a simon that soru avinoisav, that his averas have been removed. Because the word sa'urim is similar to the word sor avon. Shenemar, and we have a pasuk, the sor avoncha, Hashem tells the Navi, your avera has been removed, the chatos chatachoper, and your chet has been forgiven. So the words sa'urim are similar to the word sor avon. And in fact, in this connection, Omer Abzera, I did not leave Bavel to go to Eretz Yisrael. We find in throughout Shas that Reb Zera lived the first part of his life in Bavel, and then eventually he left there and moved to Eretz Yisrael, but I didn't go. Ad chazori sairi b'chelma, until I saw barley in my dream, and then I knew that that's a simon that my averus have been forgiven. In fact, Maharsha mentions in this connection, there's a line in the Gemara in Ksubas that says when a person lives in Eretz Yisrael, then he lives without Avon, without Averus, because, in other words, the schus of living in Eretz Yisrael helps clean up his Averus. So therefore, Reb Zera is saying, I wanted to start there in Eretz Yisrael with a clean slate, and therefore I waited until I had such a dream. There's an interesting Avni Nezer about this, where he's talking about, he's discussing the question of what exactly is the nature of the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael nowadays. So he says that. So the Avnei Nezer has a lengthy discussion about this, and he says that the vote may be now you have in that same Gemara in Ksubas, it mentions that Rav Yehuda, who was Rav Zera's Rebbe, did not hold of moving to Eretz Yisrael. He held that once the Jewish people are sent to Babel, then they have to stay there until a Navi comes and tells them that they can leave. So now Reb Zera was saying to himself, so given that my Rebbe held that way, I wasn't sure would it be right for me to be disobeying him and move to Eretz Yisrael. But now that I had that dream, now I realize that it's sign min hashamayim that yes, I am worthy of being mekayim that mitzvah of moving to Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So we'll continue with this. We'll continue with these tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. Tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, I'll be back too. Now on to Yom Yom Mashiach Ha'Gu'ola for Tzayin Tevis. So we're still talking about the Kol Yom Mechayach Lahavim Moisim Mashiach. So all in Yonim of Avoda that Rebbe talks about, and that means throughout the days of your life, within every day, within every hour and minute of the day, has to be permeated with Lahavim Limoisim Mashiach. And not just, now you have some places where the girsa is l'rabos l'moisa Mashiach, that it comes to include l'moisa Mashiach. Not just l'rabos, not just to include it, but l'hovi, to actually bring it. Meaning that the Yid himself, the Shliach, is standing there and waiting that Mashiach will come, and then he'll, so what would l'rabos mean? L'rabos would mean that the person was just standing there and waiting for it to happen, and then he'll join in and have hana. No, l'hovi is that the Shliach actually makes the effort and puts in his effort into bringing that Mashiach should come. So given that, the Rebbe goes on, so we know that then when a person has that mentality, then everything he does, everything he accomplishes is all permeated with Mashiach HaGaula. That includes when he eats and drinks, that he's looking forward to the Suda of the Levyosin and the Shor HaBor and the drinking the Yayin HaMeshumer, up to the point where even after the meal, he may be full physically, but he still feels hungry for the Suda of Levyosin and Shor HaBor and Yayin HaMeshumer. Halacha. We're still in the middle of the halachas of bracha achas mein sholosh. If a person eats fruit that is that the bracha is mein sholosh, so grapes or dates or figs or what have you, and he also eats other kinds of fruits where the bracha is bar nefashas, such as apples or oranges, so then he makes the bracha mein sholosh, and that covers all of them, because after all, you say in that bracha al ha'etz v'al priya etz, so therefore it does cover the apples or oranges as well. But if he also was chayav to say Bor Nefoshes for something else, then he won't be yotze that with bracha Me'en Sholosh. So then he's going to first need to say Me'en Sholosh and then separately Bor Nefoshes to cover both things. Another din, when a person has eaten, l'chatchila, he's not allowed to leave his place or do anything else until he says the bracha achrona. The Alter Rebbe says that actually when it comes to non-benching food, when it comes to bracha Me'en Sholosh foods, you would be allowed to get up and go someplace else. But the point is, in other words, you might forget to make the bracha. B'diyeved, if you left, or according to the Alter Rebbe, even you could leave l'chatchila, if you have to say bo nefoshes, you can say it wherever you want, but if you have to say me'en sholosh, then you have to return to your place. So the Alter Rebbe phrases it, l'chatchila, you should return to your place, just like by Birkas HaMazon. By Birkas HaMazon, we said that you're, so we said before, there's a machloik, we learned earlier in our Masechta, there's a machloik, this b'shama b'shilo, whether you need to. The halacha is technically you don't need to if you forgot, but mitzvah namulcha is to. When it comes to bracha mein sholosh, the same thing, l'chatchila, you should return to your place and make that bracha.